The scripture reading for this evening will be taken from Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Good evening. I'm glad to have the opportunity to preach for you tonight. Kevin and I talked several weeks ago about exchanging places on Sunday night. Gives you all a chance to have a different preacher in the congregation at Nelson Chapel to hear a different preacher. So I'm glad to have this opportunity. The sermon tonight is entitled, As the Twig is Bent. And that's a real tree, and I'll tell you more about it as we go along. In thinking about this lesson, what we're going to be talking about is the training of our children. Because that's one of the most important things we can ever do, is to train up our children in the right way. Because in the book of Genesis chapter 1 at verse 28, when he's given instructions there to Adam and Eve, he says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Because in the very beginning, God only created one man and one woman. He gave them the ability to reproduce. But those children that they reproduce have to be trained in the right way. And that's our responsibility as parents when we bring children into the world to train them up correctly. So how do we do that? Well, can you imagine that in a few years, there may be a thing called Kids R Us. And that is, you get a catalog in the mail. It's a four-color, slick promotional piece with models and descriptions of kids. So would-be parents can order exactly the kind of child they want without having to go through the normal procedures. Well, that's not ever going to happen because God's plan and God's way is that we have children and reproduce, and then it is the responsibility of us as parents to train them up and to teach them the right way of going. And so in that verse there in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, it's a very simple verse that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. But children have to be taught to go in the right way. They do not know how to live and what to do. You know, when God created animals, they're born with instinct. A little bird knows how to take care of itself. It knows how to build a nest after it gets to a certain number of weeks of age. And all the animals have certain instincts about what to do. But babies are not born that way. Babies have to be trained. They have to be taught. In fact, there's a passage found in Proverbs 22, verse 15 that says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That word foolishness is translated by the word folly in some of the translations. And that word there that is correction is translated by the word discipline in some of the translations. And so children do not know what to do and how to live. And so it's our responsibility as parents to train them. Many years ago, there was a man by the name of Alexander Pope who made the statement, as the twig is bent, so the tree is inclined. He made that statement in 1732 in a writing of his epistles to several persons. And in the writing of this book, in the writing of this little note, he says, 'Tis education forms the common mind, just as the twig is bent, the tree's inclined. And so with that quote, and with what we read and study in the Bible about the responsibility of parents, I know that this little picture of this tree tells us a very important story. Brother C.C. Gill of Shelbyville, Kentucky, was a member of the church at Frankfort where I preached. And he invited me to come and visit him one day at his house. And while I was there, he showed me this little tree out in his yard. And that was in 1971. And I made some pictures of that tree. And I said to Brother Gill, there's a sermon in that. And I'll have to work on it. I'll have to think about it. And I came across this quote by Alexander Pope about as the twig is bent, so the tree is inclined. And then I began to think about children and raising and training of children and how important it is. And Brother Gill explained to me how he got this crook in the tree. This is a hackleberry tree. And when it was just very small, he bent it as far as he possibly could without breaking it and tied it there and left it for a few weeks. And then he bent it a little more and tied it and left it a few more weeks. And he worked on that, he said, for about 2 years until he finally got that little crook in the tree and it was completely turned up in that way. Now, he had to work in that little tree while it was very small and very tender. Well, the same thing is true about raising children. We have to begin when they're very young to train them and to teach them, because they do not know right from wrong, and they do not know how to train themselves. And it's our responsibility to train them. And we must use patience and love and patience and a lot of love and a lot of patience. But even then, there are some children who will go astray. There are some children who will not grow up and live the way that the parents want them to go or the way that God would have them to go. Sometimes we refer to them as juvenile delinquents because they get into trouble. They disobey their parents, they disobey the laws of the land, and they end up in a lot of trouble. But you know, that's not new to our day and time. There's always been problem children, because when you read about in the Bible some of the children that were growing up, some of them didn't turn out so well. There was a man by the name of Ham that we read about in the book of Genesis chapter 9. Who acted in a very unbecoming way toward his father, Noah. And a curse was placed upon him because of that. Lot's two daughters didn't act in a very good way. They made their father drunk. And they committed adultery or incest with their own father and had children by him. In the book of Genesis chapter 37, we read about Jacob's sons. They hated their brother Joseph. They planned to kill him. They put him in a pit. And finally, they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they lied to their father and led him to believe that Joseph had been killed by some wild animal. And then in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 15, we read about Absalom. He stole the hearts of the people with promises to them to get them to have him appointed as the king instead of his father David. And he conspired against his own father, and his own father David had to flee from his home and run because he was about to be killed by his own son. There was a battle that took place, and 20,000 soldiers were killed. And then this man Absalom was killed when he got caught in an oak tree by his head, and Joab, the man who was in charge of David's army, came and threw three darts into his heart to kill him. Now, these are just four examples of problem children. But let me point out something, and that is their parents were not completely innocent, because at the time that Ham acted in this unbecoming manner toward his father Noah was drunk. At the time that Lot's daughters committed this awful thing that they did with their father, Lot had pitched his tent towards Sodom, and he lived there. And he knew that it was a very wicked and an ungodly city. And yet he wanted to live there, and he went there on purpose. Jacob had shown partiality to Joseph because he was his favorite son. And the other brothers were very jealous of him. And this no doubt had an influence on them, causing them to do what they did. And Absalom's father David had committed this sin with Bathsheba, had her husband killed, and Absalom knew all about that. Now, that's not to excuse the children, because the children were responsible for what they were doing, and these children that we were talking about were grown-up children, and they were not little bitty children. They were old enough to know better. But we should not always blame the children. I have a poem entitled, "Don't Blame the Children," that says, "We read in the papers and hear in the air of killing and stealing and crime everywhere. We sigh and we say as we notice the trend, this young generation, where will it end? But can we be sure that it's their fault alone, that maybe a part of it isn't our own? Are we less guilty who place in their way too many things that lead them astray? Too much money to spend, too much idle time, too many movies of passion and crime, too many books not fit to be read, too much of evil in what they hear said. Too many children encouraged to roam by too many parents who won't stay at home. Kids don't make the movies, they don't write the books that paint gay pictures of gangsters and crooks. They don't make the liquor, they don't run the bars, they don't make the laws, and they don't make the cars. They don't peddle the drugs that addle the brain, that's all done by older folks greedy for gain. Delinquent teenagers, oh how we condemn the sins of the nation and blame it on them. But the laws of the blameless, the Savior made known, who's there among us to cast the first stone? For in so many cases it's sad, but it's true, the title delinquent fits older folks too." That's not to say children are not responsible for what they do, because they are. But the juvenile delinquents aren't the only delinquents. Sometimes they're parental delinquents who are not doing their job, who are not doing the best that they can. Now, sometimes parents do the very best that they can with their children, but the children have a mind of their own, and they sometimes will go astray, even though parents have done the very best that they can. Because every person has the ability and the opportunity to make the decisions for themselves. And we teach and we train and we plead with them, and we want them to go in the right way, but sometimes they will not. So it's not always the parents who are to blame. Sometimes it's the children who are responsible for that. But in thinking about the problem with children and making sure they go right, here I believe are some suggestions for the solution to the problem. And that is what we call the triangle of training. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul writes, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And if we bring them up in the right way, there's a much better chance that they will live right and grow up to be faithful Christians. The first part of that triangle of training is discipline. And the Bible clearly teaches us as parents, we must discipline our children. In the book of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, it says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." The New King James Version says it just a little bit different. "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." And I saw this picture of this little girl that is illustrating that point, and that is, sometimes children are rebellious. Sometimes they will not do what we ask them to do. But because we love them, we're going to do our very best to discipline them and chastise them so that they will learn to do right and do the good thing. Now, the primary purpose of discipline is not for the parent's ego and to show the children, "I'm bigger than you and I'm stronger than you and I'm smarter than you," because that's not it at all. The purpose is to build respect for us as parents, Because if they don't respect us as parents, then they're not ever going to respect any kind of authority, whether it be at school or in the community or the laws of the land. And so we must teach them the parental authority is very important, because if they learn that, then they will learn to obey others who are over them. Notice this passage in Proverbs 23 at verse 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, this is not to suggest that we abuse our children, because that's not correction and that's not discipline. But what we're trying to do is to train them, because discipline isn't what you do to a child, it's what you do for a child, because we're trying to teach them right from wrong. We're trying to teach them to be obedient. And when we will use this discipline with children, then they will learn and they'll still love us and respect us. Here are some basic rules of discipline. Number one, you have to start early. Just as this man with the tree couldn't wait till that tree was several years of age, he had to start while it was very young. We have to start early in the discipline and the training of our children. And then we have to agree as to the type and amount of discipline. The mother and the father must not be at odds and be at difference about how to discipline the children. You must be in agreement about that, or it's not going to do any good. We must be consistent with the discipline. When we discipline them for disobeying us, and then the next time we ignore it, they're going to have mixed signals. So we have to be consistent. And also, I believe that the Bible would teach us we discipline them when they are rebellious against us and disobedient. Not just because they might make a mistake or might drop something or spill something, but when we tell a child, don't you do something, and they defy us and they do it, then we must discipline them, because they will not respect us and they will not be obedient to us if we just laugh at it and ignore it. And then be sure that we discipline in love, not anger. I know from experience that sometimes our children can provoke us. And any of you who've had children of very many years know that sometimes they can. But we must discipline with love, because love and discipline go together. If we're angry when we discipline our children, and we just discipline them to blow off some steam because we're disturbed, it's not going to be very good discipline. We may be too severe with the discipline, and the children are not going to learn from that. If we are disturbed because of something that our child has done, wait, calm down, and get control of yourself before you would discipline your children. And three good rules of discipline is: be fair, be firm, but be friendly when we discipline them. It's not that we hate them, it's because we love them. I can remember my mother saying to me, "This hurts me more than it hurts you." I didn't believe that when I was a child, but as I became a parent, I realized that's true. Because when we have to discipline that little child that we love, it is very hard. But because we love them, we're going to do that. And then use variety in discipline. You don't always have to spank. You don't always have to do it in the certain way. Whipping doesn't help, and a spanking doesn't help with children as they grow older. Sometimes you have to deny privilege. I was talking to a mother this morning, and she has an older child, and she was talking about how she withheld the phone and took the phone away from the child as discipline. Sometimes it's TV, sometimes it's the car, sometimes it's other ways of discipline. Heard about one little boy that was having a problem with striking matches, and he would strike matches just all over the house, and it was dangerous. And so the parents decided, we're going to do something about this. So back at that day and time, you could buy those little penny boxes of matches for just a penny or so. And so the father bought 12 dozen boxes of those matches. And in each one of those little boxes, what would you say, probably 30 matches, maybe even more. And he took the little boy out in the yard and he said, "Now, I want you to strike each one of these individually and lay the burnt match right there." That's over 4,000 matches that little boy had to strike. They never had another problem with that little boy in striking matches because he got his fill and he didn't like striking matches anymore after that. Use some imagination. Use variety and discipline because that sometimes will help. But remember, the overall goal of discipline is to help the child learn self-control. After all, that child is growing up. Someday the child is not going to be with you. And that child needs to learn how to control itself and how to live in the correct way. And so when we are disciplining that child, we are having that goal in mind that we want them to learn. Remember that passage in Proverbs 29, verse 17. "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." And here is a good basic definition of discipline. Discipline is a method of instruction and education whereby we seek to make the doing of right a pleasant task and the doing of wrong an unpleasant task. And that's very simple of what it is. And so we have to start off with children while they're very young. If they do something that we know that they shouldn't do, or they're doing something that's dangerous, we have to discipline them. I can remember when our children were very little, you didn't even have to touch the child. I sometimes would spank my own hands and speak to them in a way with a tone of voice that they knew they couldn't do that, and that would do the job. And then as they got a little older, you would have to spank their bottom or something because they were a little bit more mature about it. And so as children are going through discipline, they have to learn what it's all about, and that's to teach them right from wrong. Saw this little cartoon of a little boy standing in the corner, and it was by a policeman or a law enforcement officer, and it says, 5 minutes in the corner is better than 5 years in prison. Discipline them now so I don't have to later. And then this little cartoon, Sun Reality, is where the paddle meets the polyester, illustrates it very well. And I'm sure that some of you have had the paddle meet the polyester. I know I did, except mine was a little switch when I was growing up, because that's what my parents used. They didn't abuse me. They didn't harm me. But they taught me right from wrong. And I didn't hate them because of that. I learned to love them because I knew later on that they loved me and would not allow me to go on unchecked. So the first part of the solution is discipline. The second part is to be an example. Children are imitators. They're going to imitate those things that are good or the things that are bad. And parents who wish to train their children in the way they should go must go in the way in which they would have their children go. In other words, put the right example before them. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We can get ourselves into our children, but we can never get ourselves out because they are like clay, and they are easily molded, and they can follow a good example or they can follow a bad example. And if we as parents put forth a good example to them, then they're going to be able to follow that. And the best time to begin that is with their grandparents, because if the grandparents raise up the parents, and then the parents raise their own children in the right way. And that's what we read about in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 about Lois and Eunice and then Timothy. And so we need to make sure that our children do that, because it's very, very possible that they're going to be a chip off the same old block. This little poem says, "A little fellow follows me. A careful man I ought to be. A little fellow follows me. I dare not go astray, for fear he'll go the self-same way. I cannot once escape his eyes. Whatever he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says, he's going to be the little chap who follows me. He thinks that I am good and fine, believes in every word of mine. The base in me he must not see, that little fellow who follows me. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I am building for the years to be in the little chap who follows me." So I want to put forth a good example and make sure that that child follows me. And then the third part of the triangle of training is teaching. We must teach them about God and His Word. We need to teach them how we got here. And it wasn't by evolution. It was God who created us. Why we're here. What's the purpose or the reason for life? And where are we going when this life is finished? Solomon summarizes it very well in this passage here in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Read the Bible to your children when they're very little. Continue to read and study the Bible with them and make sure that they are in attendance at all of the services. And see to it that they have their Bible class lessons. I've read about some parents who say, "We're not going to influence our children in making choices and decisions in the matter of religion." Why not? The ads will, the press will, the whiskey industry will, the movies will, the neighbors will, the politicians will, the schools will. We use our influence in training flowers or training this tree. We use our influence on vegetables and cattle and dogs and cats. Do you think we should ignore our children? We need to influence them and teach them to go in the right way to follow God's will. And so teach them about marriage. Show them what a happy marriage is all about. As husbands and wives love each other and the children see this, it's going to help them to want to have a good marriage and help them to have a good marriage. Answer those questions that they ask about sex because they need to know. Make some rules about dating. Don't let them start dating too early, because if they start dating too early, they'll get married too early. And immaturity and early dating leads to heartaches. Teach them the truth about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and show them what the Bible has to say about the truths of these things. Teach them about working, about making money, and how to care for money. Teach them about friends and habits and attitudes, because all of these things are important. It's never too young to begin training your children. Discipline them, teach them self-control. Make sure that you put a good example before them by living a faithful Christian life for them. And teach them about God's Word so that they will have the proper instruction and they'll know what to do. As the twig is bent, so the tree is inclined. Training our children is very important and very valuable. And so make sure that we train our children in the right way, because as the twig is bent, so the tree's inclined. Here's the picture of Brother C.C. Gill by that tree. And that was made in 1971. I do not know if that tree is still standing or not. If it's still there, it still has that crook in it, because there was no way that that crook was going to grow out of it. It's going to always be there. And that's the reason that it's so important for us as parents to train our children and to make sure that they're taught and led in the proper way or in the right way. In the book of Proverbs, or the book of Psalms, chapter 127, verses 3 through 5, we read, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. As the twig is bent, so the tree is inclined. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the opportunity to be parents, and we pray especially for the parents in this audience that they will be good examples, that they'll discipline their children in a loving way, and that they will teach their children your word so that they'll know how to live and how to act and how to be faithful Christians. And we pray thy blessings upon all of the homes that are represented here tonight, and that we'll always do our best to love thee, to love one another, and to practice Christianity as you would have us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The puzzle of salvation is not really all that difficult, because the Bible explains what we're to do to become Christians. We must believe, because faith is the very basis of it all. Because we must believe in God, we must believe in Christ, we must believe that the Bible is the Word of God. So without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We must repent, turn away from our sins in godly sorrow, saying, I'm going to live right from now on, and I'm not going to live in that way of evil anymore. I'm going to be willing to confess with my mouth that I believe that Christ is the Son of God. And then I'm going to be baptized into Christ so my sins can be washed away and I can be added to the Lord's church. And I'm going to live faithfully all the days of my life because I want to be saved and be with God in that place called heaven. If there are any of you in this audience who need to become a Christian, tonight is a wonderful time for you to obey the gospel. Or if you need to be restored to your first love, we invite you to come back and get right with God and have your sins forgiven, as together we stand and sing.